Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
For today's Jo Malone London sponsored podcast, we wanted to share some of its most iconic scents. Whether you're looking for a new fragrance this year or want to explore Jo Malone London's bestsellers, there is plenty to discover. One of my favourites has to be Pomegranate Noir. It is so peppery and plummy and cosy and warm, and it's classic and recognisable too. So it really does suit everybody. I know another favourite of the team is English Pear and Freesia. I can see why it's the brand's most popular scent. It is light, it's fresh, and smells exactly like freshly cut pear. It is really uplifting and crisp. Also, before I forget, wood sage and sea salt is so green with a herbal, salty quality. It's actually really unique, and the best part is that you can layer all of their scents too. Plus, if you're not sure which of those sounds like the right scent for you, you can head into the store and book a free fragrance consultation. It is a great way of trying before you buy. To shop the best-selling scents and to discover your favourite, visit jomalone.co.uk.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week I'm joined by Polly Sayer, Sherry Andrew, and Hodge Sarah Templeman. Oh, that'll never get easier. I feel like we comment on it every time. Like, who are you? How is everybody?
Good. All good.
And you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. How was everyone's weekends? What have you been up to, Sherry?
I had a very chill weekend. One of my friends was down from Manchester, and she hasn't been to London in quite a while. So I was like, let's show you the sights. Not like the touristy things, but I was like, Battersea Power Station has opened since you were last here. So we went there, went to some shops, had a bit of a mooch. And then we went to Boobala in Spitalfields.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so good. On Saturday. So it was good. So good. We just got the set menu. So it's a vegetarian restaurant. There's also one in Soho, and it's like the best example of vegetarian cooking that has just done so well. Is it Israeli?
Yeah.
Is that right? So yeah, so it's Israeli cooking. So everything is like so flavorful. Ooh, we had like grilled halloumi, really clever cooking. So like some mushrooms that were kind of like put on a skewer and then griddled. So it tasted kind of like chicken with that texture, but it was a mushroom. Had some spicy margaritas. So yeah, it was so, that was like the highlight. I was like, this is so nice.
So nice.
It's one of those restaurants where like, as a meat eater, you go there and don't feel like shortchanged in any way. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Probably a bit of a controversial thing to say, but like, it's amazing. Like, I never feel like, oh, I really missed meat there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to go there with a veggie that like, you could just
go
there.
Yeah, it's so nice.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah,
nice.
Definitely. So yeah, that was lovely. And then we just relaxed for the rest of the weekend. Went on some long walks. It was very wholesome.
So wholesome.
Yeah. I also just got my Invisalign fitted.
Am I the only person in this whole
I think you are.
A lot of Invisalign on the go, because I'm the only person who isn't talking about that.
Yeah, I'm very
confident. Or has at some point.
Yeah,
are you
I've
done?
Completed. I'm done. I'm on my last night tray.
Oh, amazing.
I'm just waiting to get there.
I feel like it's been a long time.
I'm pretty lazy.
How long has it been?
Probably about 2 years.
Are you joking?
I know, I started at the same time as Laura Black.
Laura's been finished for like a year.
Laura had it in the old office.
But I'm really...
I've been done for like...
got a lisp with it.
Yeah,
I just couldn't wear them at work.
Yeah.
So I only wore them in the night, so obviously they're much
more. Okay, fine. I'm being very strict, hence why I've got them in now, but I'm conscious I might have a little bit of a lisp.
No, sorry, everyone.
But everybody does. I'm like the only person in the office who, you know, Lou's walking around like that, Florence. Everybody's Daisy. Everybody's brushing their teeth in the toilet.
Quite jealous that I didn't do it now, because I felt like when I did it, I was like one of the only ones, and it was really embarrassing. But now, like, everyone else is doing it. It's like, oh, it's really not.
You paved the way. Don't you worry.
Thank you.
You did. Yeah, you were the OG.
Yours are perfect now. That's so good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you have edge bonding?
Yeah, on my top 40. That honestly, like, it's the best money I've ever spent. I know that's what I've got. That's
it
my next
so nice.
Bit.
But
I am doing it.
Do you think bonding can go so wrong?
You can look quite fake.
Because if there's too straight, yours is very natural.
Yeah.
Is it because it's then not the same length?
I think, yeah, like not entirely the same length, and maybe there's a difference. He called it edge bonding rather than like full
concept. Yeah, that's what
length.
I'm gonna
so
get.
Just like, yeah, I didn't want them all completely the same length.
Yeah.
And look at me. Yeah, it's because you still got definition between each tooth, yeah. Whereas I feel like when composite bonding is bad, it's because yeah. it's yeah. completely straight, yeah. which just looks fake.
Yeah, but yeah.
Are you going to do that, Cherry?
Not sure. I'm not sure. I'm going to see yeah. how it feels, see how it looks.
It is amazing, though.
Yeah. Mm.
It's so good. Yeah, so good.
How long have you been told? How many trays have you got?
I think I've got about 20 trays, okay. So 6 months worth. Oh, my God, I'm really conscious of my lisp now. It's getting worse. Yeah, so not too long.
Okay, ooh. That's not too bad at all.
And yeah, any pain so far?
Not at all. So when I put them in, I was like, oh, this is so fine. Taking them out is a little bit hard. Yeah, I'm quite conscious that I don't want my teeth to pop out. Ooh. They won't.
It
they
feels
won't.
Like it, doesn't it, at first? Yeah. Yeah. And there's no, like, sexy way to take them out, so we just feel like gobby.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like whenever I'm with Lou and she's eating, I watch her like go into a corner. She will literally go somewhere. Yeah. She's like a man going to do a wee. She's cracking out the other
side. Yeah. It's gross. Yeah. Towards the end, you're so blasé. You just pull him out on the spit.
The dribble. Oh. No. That's going
to
be me.
As two people who have been on their full Invisalign journey, what advice would you give to Cherry? Mm. Do keep them in at
don't
work.
Don't wear them.
Yeah, I would say don't take them if you're going away for a mini break.
Don't take them.
Wait, what? I didn't recommend that at all.
It's terrible advice.
Don't take them.
Because it's so easy to forget them in hotels and they get cleaned and then they're gone. I had to replace mine twice because of that.
I thought you were going to say because it's not very romantic. I was like, Cherry could work that one out for herself. Yeah. Don't worry.
But yeah, it's just, and then a few friends of mine, it's such a pain because you forget them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not worth it.
Okay, good advice. Yeah. Thanks so much. Okay.
I'm not sure. I actually don't. That's just saying, like, don't take them on a holiday all day.
Yeah. No, but if like two nights is fine.
Okay.
You can ask two nights.
I might ask my dentist about that one.
Yeah, just get really. Yeah. Or just like put a note on your phone to remember.
I think like my advice would be like, as long as you always wear them at night, it's fine. Like obviously you don't want to you do want to wear them in the daytime, but I think some people get a bit stressed about like if they're going out like day drinking for the day, they don't wear them in the daytime. As long as you just shove them in the night, you'll be fine.
Okay. This afternoon I was really stressed. I was like, I've had my lunch, but I can't have a snack until I get home. Mm. So I was like, cramming some nuts in, had a cereal bar. I was like, I've got to do all my eating right now. Mm. But that's good advice.
But also, you could just be like Hodge and just decide, like, okay, a bit less wear in the day, and it just takes a bit longer. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, good luck with your journey. Keep us posted.
Thank you, I will do.
Hodge, what did you get up to this weekend?
One of my best girlfriends who lives in Singapore was over, and so we did a girls' lunch at a pub in Mayfair called the Alfred Tennyson with like 11 of us. Oh. So it was really fun. And then Saturday, there was lots of rugby, wasn't there? Six Nations and things going on. We did play day. That is why I must say I love living in London, because went to a girlfriend's with two of the children at 4, like watched the rugby, but was home by 8. And then Sunday, my son has hurt his knee, so we are out of rugby at the moment. So we sort of got our Sundays back, and I forgot to sign up my daughter to a netball tournament because I dropped the ball. So anyway, we had a free... So we had a free Sunday, so we took the kids to Borough Market and mooched around and ate lots of different food groups, which is quite interesting what they all chose.
What was your highlight? What was your food highlight from Borough?
Probably, is it Brindessa? The sandwich. James and I shared one. Oh my God.
What, is it like an Iberico?
Yeah, it's like a doorstep. Oh my God. And a great cheese over. Oh, so good.
I like Brindessa.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. And then the kids had a donut from Bread Hut. Then we went home and played loads of games. And then we watched Twilight.
Great. And that was a hit with the kids.
Nice. Yeah, they loved classic. It. I was like, it's 9 too young, but she seems to be in a stride.
It is quite PG.
Yeah, it is quite PG.
Yeah.
It's all quite heavy breathing, and I want to kiss you, but I can't kiss you because I might bite you.
Yeah, that's quite 9-year-old.
So
shit,
there's not. Yeah. There but there's no like sex in it because it's all.
It's just tension.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of sexual tension, which I don't think a 9-year-old picks up on.
I just like. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like he flies across the room when they start kissing because he's so, you know. All right, but it was really nice.
It's like, same for the kids. Yeah, and the adults,
yeah. It was like the perfect balance of friends, you know, socializing with the kids so you get your hit, and then family time.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, so nice.
So nice.
We nailed the weekend.
Well done. Polly, how was Copenhagen?
Yeah, it was really good. Thank you. Yeah, I've been a few times now, and I feel like each time it just gets better because I don't know, you have a bit more of a network of people that you know, and you kind of know what to expect a bit more. And yeah, Copenhagen is obviously such a cool city and like great for food as well, so it's a bit an added bonus that you can kind of go out and eat nice food in between shows. I think my highlight was probably Rotate. Which is
all, is that what you wore the red to?
Yeah, sorry, can we just have a moment for your outfit?
Yeah.
Red insane.
I love so good.
Very sad to give the red trousers back. And indeed the shirt, actually, like, I don't know if you can see in the photos, but it's got like built-in shoulder pads in the shirt, which just makes it like a really, really cool shape. They kindly loaned that to me to wear, but I'm very sad to hand that back. They had some sort of like bridal dresses come down the runway at Rotate that I was just like, these are so fucking cool.
They look so sexy.
Yeah. The kind of like bride dress I'd want to wear now, like, you know, because they sometimes be a bit prim and whatever. Yeah. They were like edgy as fuck and like really cool.
And also, I was having a look at their website yesterday and most of that collection has now dropped online. And like, you assume that because somebody's showing that it must mean the prices are super expensive. Well, the A, that you have to wait, and B, that the prices are going to be crazy. But all of that bridal collection, like everything was in and around £500 still, which is like amazing. Their price point. Yeah. So that's great, especially for a wedding. Yeah.
So lots of inspo there, but not just bridal, like loads of their kind of like classic sequiny, big like applique flowers, lots of leather. It was just, it was sick. And then it kind of, as the show finished, this curtain just dropped, and then there was like a Belvedere bar doing like the after party. The after party was in the same place, which made it great because you didn't have to go anywhere else to do it. And managed to sneak my boyfriend in, so that's his first fashion week experience. Harry's just like not really into fashion at all.
Like, I saw the Instagram.
Yeah, I saw the neck. What's going on with his neck scarf thing?
The brand is like Buff. I feel like you can buy them in like outdoorsy shops,
like blacks.
And like, he wears it like skiing. He's like, the boy has never owned a scarf in his goddamn life, but he wears this fucking Buff, like
he's a neck out of fashion, warmer.
But like, it's like a sporty neck warmer.
Yeah, sporty neck warmer, and it's got on the other side, it's got some kind of like weird like penguin print on it. And I'm just like, anyway, like it's a lot.
And he came to the Rotate party in it.
Rotate party in it. In that, and
they probably thought
jumper.
He was being like ironic,
or like they thought he was like a cool Copenhagen guy.
Yeah. Next year on Copenhagen Fashion Week.
he's a trendsetter, but no, I honestly love that, like, little he cares. I just like took it in a stride. I was like, this is really cool. I thought he'd be quite bored coming with me to Copenhagen, because I was like, well, I'm gonna be out a lot, it's a little fashiony things. But he was like, this is great. Aww. Like, what a world, like, I didn't know about before. So yeah, kudos to him for just embracing it and having a nice time.
Also, it's fun, like, I suppose so many of us, you don't know much about your partner's world, exactly. So if you can bring them in.
He was like, oh, it's like when I brought you into the crew room before one of my flights. I was like, just like that. Yeah, like just the same.
You wrote a feature for Site off the back of your trip trends that you saw. Can you run us through some of the key trends?
Yeah, absolutely. I think from the runway, there were a lot of like big bags actually at some of the shows. So if you're the kind of person that likes to carry a lot of stuff around, that's good news. I think small bags have been around for a little while,
like, but big totes,
like massive totes, but then also at Romain they had these kind of like almost baguette shaped bags, like shoulder bags, but they were just massive. So that was quite fun. Lots of leather, lots of kind of like burgundy leather, which we've seen a bit of now, but I'm kind of excited to try a bit more of those, like slightly warmer shades of leather. And then street style wise, people wearing lots of red, obviously quite a lot of like faux fur jackets, you know, mob wife style. And loads of people wearing like balaclavas, like, you know, cool like fluffy hats and stuff, I guess because it was freezing, but like, yeah, it was kind of fun to see. Like, I think Copenhagen is great for people just being quite playful and having fun with their style, so yeah, I've always come away feeling quite inspired.
Less black, more fun, I suppose.
I think so. So yeah, it was great. Good week, thanks.
How's yours?
My weekend was good, thanks. We were away for the weekend. We didn't have that many great experiences. I probably won't dwell on it. We just had a couple of service breakdowns, I'd say. I know, which is just a bit of I don't know, we spent quite a lot of money on going to nice places this weekend and just didn't have great service in lots of them. So
And you're really looking forward to it as well.
We're really excited. We had a lovely weekend together. But it was a bit of a reminder for us actually to stick to our old favourites. Yeah. Sometimes summers is a reason to go. I just want to be at Heckfield all the time. That's the only place I want to be. Yeah. I'm still jealous of your trip. It's just confirmed to me that Heckfield really is just the best place in the world.
Nice try.
Oh, heaven. What I do have though, I feel like I've been on a real culture binge. I've been reading, I've been watching, so I want to know.
Okay.
Should I just start?
Yeah, you start.
I'll start with that. Yeah. Okay, so I've watched 5 of 6 episodes of Griselda.
Oh my god, I love you! Oh, okay.
It's so good. So She is amazing. Yeah. Sofia Vergara is starring in a new Netflix series by the producers of Narcos. And it is about the true story of Griselda Blanco, who was one of the most feared drug barons of the 80s in Miami, at the point at which the Miami cocaine dramas, I suppose, were kind of hitting their peak, and there were all these crazy murders. Like, you know, all of the stories that we've heard before, she was sort of the ringleader of it all. Her, I think at its peak, her cocaine trade was hitting $80 million worth of cocaine a week. Like, it
was a week.
Just in Miami. Like, it was obviously the epicenter. Yeah. But yeah, she was this completely ruthless character who ran just this mad operation. She's Colombian originally, and sort of fled some drugs drama, went to Miami and set up there by herself. So it starts with her fleeing Colombia with her 3 sons, and tells the story, I guess, of her rise to the top. And having not seen the final episode, I imagine her demise. I don't know if they've left it open for a second series. Okay. You can Google, obviously, what happened to the real Griselda Blanco. Like, that's not a... It's not, like, a spoiler. So it's Sofia Vergara. So what I find funny about the whole thing is that they have... She's had prosthetics done to, I guess, make her less attractive. She's still amazing. Yeah. She's still so hot, right? She's Sofia Vergara. She still looks incredible. But what is so funny is if you Google the real Griselda Blanco... Yeah. Not so hot. She wasn't that hot in real life, and I don't know why they sort of. They didn't try to make her look like the real Griselda Blanco. No, they're just like, we need to just tone her down a bit. Yeah. So let's just make her a bit more.
I was quite like surprised by that when I googled her. Yeah. I was just like, well, you either make her like this like sex siren because you know that appeals to people more, or you just make her what you know she was, which was not, you know,
yeah, make her look like that woman.
But yeah, it was just like, oh, we'll just stick her like a prosthetic nose on her and make her look a bit different. And it's like, right, so is it Sofia Vergara?
Exactly, like it's like she's not hot and she doesn't look like the real woman. Yeah. So I'm confused about why they bother. But anyway,
I don't know. Yeah,
that aside, I think her acting is brilliant. She was on Graham Norton a few weeks ago talking about this role and saying that obviously because of her accent when she speaks English, roles are slightly more, you know, Hollywood is a bit more prohibitive for her. She can't play every role, which I actually have dwelled on and think, actually, that's probably not, you know, it hasn't held back a Salma Hayek or a Penelope Cruz. So I'm hoping that really what she needed was a bit of a rebrand and to be taken seriously as an actress post Modern Family. And I think this has definitely established her as that. Even like her physicality, the way she walks, the way she holds herself in it is so, so far from Sofia Vergara.
Yeah. She's like thuds when she walks.
She's so stocky the way she holds herself.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's just brilliant. It's not as gory as Narcos.
No.
The acting's awesome.
I'm 2 episodes in and I'm absolutely loving it. I think what really pulled me in was like at the start of the first episode, they've got that quote from Pablo Escobar which said like, I've only ever feared one man and it's a woman called Griselda Blanco. Yeah. And I was like, this is good.
Exactly.
It's wicked. I can't wait to get stuck into a few more episodes.
Yeah, it's really so good. And like the whole kind of Miami in the 80s scene that they set, like the interiors are incredible. And like you kind of get a sense of like the heat and the glamour, obviously not the glamour of the drugs trade, but the, you know, the glamour of the kind of just Miami at that time. Yeah. So I did read some criticism about it, which was saying that all stories, or like the majority of the stories about Colombia, that are told in the mainstream are always associated with the cocaine trade, and that's doing Colombians a real disservice. And I think that's probably a really valid point. But equally, it's just a fascinating story and like in isolation, right? So I'm sure it's valid and that there should be more stories told, you know, in the wider spectrum. It's a juicy story.
And it's very empowering of women.
It is empowering.
You know, the fact that she brings her, because she used to be a prostitute, and she brings like the other prostitutes from her old brothel into her like new working arrangement in Miami, and you know, she makes them, and you know, And they're like, you know, we don't have to make our money lying on our back. Yeah. They are now making that money.
Yeah, they are just selling coke instead of money.
You know, at least they can say no when they want to say
damn
no.
Damn right. So, but also from her, like, she takes on all these men.
Mm. Yeah.
And she, and...
I know, shit, when she walks into the nightclubs.
Oh yeah. My God, yeah.
They're really scary.
They're vile. Yeah. But also, they really underestimate her because she's a woman. Yeah. Like, I think there are some feminist things to take from it.
About
holding your own and... Whether you're in the drugs trade or not.
Yeah,
there's definitely something to take from that. The other thing I watched this weekend and absolutely loved, I think you'll all love it, is The Greatest Night in Pop. So this is an hour and 40 long documentary on Netflix. It's just the one episode. And it is about the making of We Are the World, which is the charity single from... 47 huge artists. It started with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder, Quincy Jones producing. Mm-hmm. This is back in the 80s as well. And the idea came about off the back of Feed the World. That charity single had come out. It had made, obviously, a huge impact. There were people kind of travelling out to Ethiopia and seeing the effects of the famine there firsthand, and were coming back, and people in Hollywood, I mean, and coming back and saying, right, we have to do something. So that's the kind of crew that originally got together, and it was Michael Jackson. But as soon as they got Stevie Wonder on board, they knew, like, okay, we're going to be able to get all these people on board. And basically, it was, as they say, 47 people from... Bob Dylan, to Diana Ross, to Billy Joel, to Cyndi Lauper. Like, the list goes on and on and on. It's incredible. Dionne Warwick. Like, everyone who was anyone at that point in time in the early 80s, apart from Prince. There's a whole drama around Prince. But they are telling the story of how they wrote the song, how they got the song produced. And then basically, they were like, right, how are we going to get all of these people into one room? There was the American Music Awards. Lionel Richie was hosting that night. And he said, right, well, they're all going to be here. They're going to be in LA for this. So we're going to have to do it that night. So basically, they had the awards show. And then from like 10 p.m. through to 8 a.m. the next morning, they were all in one studio and recorded the whole song, all of these personalities in one room together.
Wow.
And the whole thing was filmed. They've got footage of every minute of it. And that's what this documentary is. It's so cool. And like, nothing really happens. It's just about, you know... The mini dramas that, you know, happen with all these egos in one room and all the different personalities and these kind of fun, amazing moments of trying to get harmonies right. And anyway, it's just like...
Because so I've seen the ad. Gosh. I was good. I wanted to watch it, but James was out and I thought, oh, I'll have to watch with him because he'd love it. But there's a bit in the advert for it where they tack a piece of A4 paper to the door and it says, leave your ego at the door.
Yes.
And like all these mega stars. Megastar.
Wow. And it's amazing because you see the dynamics between them. Like, you know, Cyndi Lauper is dying because she's met Bob Dylan. And like, they're all, and at the end, like, Diana Ross is crying because she's like, I don't want this night to end. This is so amazing. Like, these huge people. It's incredible. And Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder are there together. And it's just, it's amazing. Cool. It's so.
And like, they're like, I don't know what line I'm singing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm down for it.
Yeah, they're like, exactly that. And yeah, there's obviously competition over who gets what line. And then Michael Jackson's in there just like, standing there in his sort of, you know, kind of weird, kind of spacey way, but then he starts singing, you're like, that man's voice. Wow. Like, it's just heaven. It's so worth a watch.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
That sounds so good.
So good. Wow. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
The Greatest Night in Pop, it's called. Cool. Yeah, so that's pretty
good. That sounds
amazing. I've got books to talk about, but I'll let someone else speak. What are you watching other than Griselda?
Well, I was watching Griselda. Mm. I just finished Good Material by Dolly Alderton, which I know is a bit of a, like, you know, millennial girl starter pack, but like, I did actually really enjoy it.
I really liked it.
Yeah, I did. And like, for anyone that doesn't know about it, it's told from the perspective of a guy, and he's just been dumped by his girlfriend of 4 years, and it's all about essentially the aftermath of his breakup. And you hear very much from his perspective. And then for the final, like, chapter, you then hear from the girl that he's broken up with. Like, I loved hearing that last bit, I think. That really turned it on its head for me. And, like, it was a nice sort of twist. I don't want to give too much away. But I raced through it. Like, I read it on a flight, pretty much all of it. And I'm not a very fast reader. And, I find most of her books quite easygoing and, like, nice.
It's her second fiction book.
Yeah.
What was the first one? Ghost. Yes. I didn't read that.
Which I didn't really like.
Yeah, I just...
I can't remember. I cannot even tell you what that was about.
No,
yeah.
I've read
no offense to Tony, but yeah, not my favourite.
I really loved her autobiography. Yeah, what was that? Live, Love.
Everything I Know About
Everything Love. Everything I Know About Love. That's the one. I did really love that. Like, I loved that book. I thought it was really, really good.
Mm. I think, maybe preferred Good Material to Ghost, actually.
Yeah, much better.
But yeah, finished that, and then I've been rewatching This Country with my boyfriend because I've seen it before like years ago and he's never seen it, and it's honestly just been so fun to watch together.
Is that the Daisy May Cooper?
Yeah. And I like you know, like watching it a second time round, I honestly think it's one of the best British comedies
really
ever written.
I've
it's
never
just
watched it.
Just
yeah.
so
I've only seen
funny
it via Gogglebox.
I just fucking love it. It's so funny. It's about their cousins. So it's Daisy May Cooper's character is called Kerry Mucklow, and her cousin Curtin, and they live in a rural town in the Cotswolds. But it's kind of like based on their upbringing, and it's mockumentary style, isn't it? And
it's really funny,
and it's not new at all. But it was won a couple of BAFTAs and stuff. So okay. if you're into British comedy, and it's well worth a go. And the only other thing is Poor Things, which I didn't really like. Which
oh no,
is
you didn't.
Completely
yes.
different to what you thought of it, but. Yeah, that's life's beauty, isn't it?
Is it? Well, we can agree to disagree. Or was it you just found it too weird?
I did, yeah. I found it a bit too weird. But, you know, maybe that's just went over my head perhaps.
No, I mean, it's really weird. It's really, really weird. Mm. You're not wrong about that. I just enjoyed that, whereas I can totally understand why one might not.
I appreciated bits of it. Mm. Like, you know, it was shot very well and the costume was really, really cool. But yeah, I just found the story. I also thought it was possibly like half an hour too long.
Oh, definitely. All films are half an hour too long these days. Literally every movie. Yeah.
I saw Billy wearing a hat on Instagram yesterday, which said, make films shorter.
Yes! Yeah. Make films shorter.
Yeah, and I don't think it's to do with my attention span.
No!
An hour and a half.
An hour and a half. What's wrong with a 90-minute
Like, I really watched The Killers of the Moon. And
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Can't bring myself to watch it.
But this, and also, I find it then prohibits how often I can go to the cinema, because I'm not going to go to the cinema after work and watch a 3-hour movie.
So
because
tired.
It's too late. But 90 minutes.
And it's too busy on the weekend.
Totally. Yeah. But if a film starts, but even on the weekend, that's a 3-hour, it's like a 4-hour chunk of your day.
Yeah.
It's half a day. Whereas if it was just an hour and a half, I would be able to go so much
in
more.
And out. I know.
Too much.
Indulgent.
Sherry, what have you been reading, watching?
I have just binged The Buccaneers. Has anyone seen this?
No.
So. It's on Apple, let me tell you. It's on Apple TV. And because their dramas are always so good, I think it's like top tier. Mm. I had really high expectations. Yeah. So this is a Regency drama, very Bridgerton-esque. And I was like, okay, this sounds really interesting. It's awful. Oh. It's terrible, but I'm loving it.
Okay, great.
Like the plot is flawed. I didn't really know what was going on. The script is really poor.
Flawed as well.
Yeah, very flawed. But it's kind of like Emily in Paris.
Oh god, no.
It's like objectively
watch.
Yeah, it's objectively not good. Okay. But like it's really enjoyable. And by the fourth episode, I was like, okay, it's getting a bit good now, it's getting a bit juicy.
Okay.
So
is
it's
sexy?
About not really. No, it's very tame.
God,
I think
you're not selling it, babe.
No, they only kiss. Yeah, they only kiss three episodes in.
Oh gosh.
So it's set in London, and a group of Americans, so New Yorkers, come over for the, I guess the debutante of the season. So they're like showing all the sisters and the, you know, their friends off to be married to whatever eligible bachelors around. So it's very similar to Bridgerton. There's a duke who is very good looking.
I think there's a duke. That sounds cool.
A duke.
I like it already.
There's a duke. Can I say that? My mum's like, yeah, there's a duke. And he is like the most eligible bachelor in the country. So it's kind of a fight over who gets him. So it was described as a culture war between the Americans and the Brits. So they, you know, these Americans come over, and the British, this is like 1870, do you think they're really coarse and vulgar, don't know how to behave properly. So that is basically the theme of the whole show.
Got you.
So it's quite fun. Not much really happens, but also a lot happens. Okay. It's one of those shows where you're like, where is this going? And I'm not sure what's going to happen at the end.
Okay.
But, so it's shot in Scotland, so it's very beautiful, and the costumes are amazing, as you can expect, like the hair, the dresses, all of that stuff. So it's very nice to watch aesthetically. The plot is really, I'm maybe overstating, it's really bad, but I really enjoyed it.
Have you watched The Gilded Age? Have any of you watched that?
No.
Yes. Yeah.
So which is better?
The Gilded Age.
Okay, because
I think that's
also quite fluffy. I really enjoyed The Gilded Age, but I'm just trying to work out on a scale of Bridgerton to Gilded Age where it sits.
I think what I was saying, if Downton Abbey is like top up here, in my opinion, and then Bridgerton is underneath, and then you've got The Gilded Age, this is like definitely below that.
Okay.
So not as good, but I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's just, you know, easy watching. Yeah. If you want something, you can just whack on. And I was laughing with my friend the whole time.
Okay.
At one point, I did actually fall off my seat. So there is a big plot twist in there.
Oh, right. Okay.
So that was good, but I'm not sure, it hasn't really gone much further since then.
I think I will. I do think if someone tells me there's a plot twist in something that's like a major plot, I will read or watch whatever that thing is, because I'm always looking for that Gone Girl. But you know that thing? Do you remember when you found that twist in Gone Girl?
It's the best twist ever.
Oh my god! And it just blew your mind and rocked your world.
Yeah, I love stuff like that.
But I feel like nothing's ever, the only thing that's ever come close, and I've spoken about this before, is Gillian Flynn wrote another book after that called.
I couldn't read that.
Called Sharp Objects.
Not like it.
Which sort of goes along and along and along, and then on the final page, bam, and you just sit there like...
Shook.
Yeah, my God. Shook, and like remain shook 5 years later.
Wow.
So Gillian Flynn, queen of...
Sharp Objects.
Yeah. Sharp Objects was brilliant.
Diane. In the Traitors.
Apart from Diane in the Traitors. Poznov, my son. But Ross's. So good. Okay, thanks, Sherry. Sort of recommendation there for me.
Sure. Yeah, I enjoyed it. So.
Okay, good.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hodge, what about you?
I have been to the theatre twice.
You have?
In the last 2 weeks. I know, I'm so cultured.
You are.
Basically, I'm coming for your job.
Tell me what you've seen.
Well, I saw, the opposite ends of the spectrum. I saw Crawl Intentions, the musical.
Oh my gosh, was it good? I love that film.
I love that film.
The music is so good. It's like a real throwback to like incredible 90s music.
So it's existing music. It's not the original
existing
score.
Music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have the most insane dance routines, which are, as I mean insane, I mean I feel I could do them. Do you know what I mean? They're like... They're attainable.
Does that say more? I was about to, does that say more about your dancing abilities or the quality of that?
It's not like the best thing I've ever seen, but it is a really. It's like a really fun like hour and a half.
Okay.
Definitely, it would be good to go for like a girls' lunch and then go and watch the matinee because you'll be up dancing.
Fun,
okay. But like I wouldn't take your parents.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure.
Quite racy.
With my parents.
No,
that, so. It's quite racy. Yeah. There's lots of sexy chat as that is in the film. I'm seeing all types of things going on.
Ryan Felipe was just like, where does he go?
Yeah,
he was so hot.
He would. Well, he had a nasty divorce with
Reese Witherspoon. Yeah. Yeah, they met on that film. I think. Yeah.
And they've got this beautiful daughter.
They do, and son. But I just don't know why he wasn't bigger.
I don't know. It is really good. But I think one of the main characters, he must have been a reserve, and he kept missing
an understudy
and he kept missing
it's a reservist
on the bench
and he kept missing his steps or his notes, and everyone was rooting for it.
Oh no, poor thing.
But it is really fun, but you're not going to walk away going wow, but you will be going, that was fun.
Nice. You need a bit of that,
some light relief.
The very next night I went to see Plaza
the very next night.
Yeah, I really want to hear about this.
Excellent.
Is it?
That is probably the best thing I've seen. I mean, Matilda's up there for me. I think that's the best. I love it, love it, love it. But it is so good. Sarah Jessica Parker is insane.
So this is the play that Sarah Jessica Parker and her husband Matthew Broderick are in
together.
Yeah, so
it's just the two of them. Mm-hmm. So it's set at the Plaza Suite and it's the same set. They play three couples. So it's 40 minutes, 40 minutes, 40 minutes. And it's them. And it's very different stories. And her comic timing is just so good. I'd really recommend it.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
She's amazing. She just, when I saw Cabaret with Eddie Redmayne, I felt the same. Like, you they act in even the tips to their fingers. You know, the her whole body is the part. It's so good.
And you weren't thinking she was Carrie, because I find her hard to separate from Carrie.
No, I think because the three characters are so different that she plays.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And like we were laughing out loud. I took it, my James and I went, and he found it really funny as well.
Okay,
it's really like definitely. I think they've just extended, so try and see. And it is expensive, but like if you can try and go in the afternoon, it's because a girlfriend of mine got quite reasonable tickets this week.
Okay. That's good. Ooh, I was supposed to go on Saturday night, and then Ben booked this weekend away. This weekend without knowing that I was going with a girlfriend. I know, so I didn't. I missed out. I was trying to get to it.
It's really good.
There's a line in a Frasier episode towards the very end of like at season 11, which is obviously supposed to be a kind of tongue in cheek breaking the fourth wall line when someone says to him, "Have you got any idea what it's like to play the same character for 20 years?" Which obviously is ironic because you know, from Cheers to Frasier, Kelsey Grammer played the same part forever. Anyway, the point being, I can't imagine if you're a Sarah Jessica Parker. Like, it's such a strange thing, surely, as an actor, where you get this incredible opportunity and this incredible role, but then that ends up being your entire working identity. Like, that's just so it's so cool that she must feel so satisfied doing something different.
And it was really nice to see them together. Like, what a lovely thing.
It was really cool.
To, like, come off stage and be, you know, and I think one point he stumbled or she stumbled something, and they, you know, and there was a look between them, and like, it was just, an amazing marriage to be able to do that.
Well, they've had their lumps and bumps, I think, haven't they? I think he had quite a well documented affair, so they've obviously
come back.
Really cool, good for them.
She's a great actor. Remember, she was in Hocus Pocus.
She's also in one of my favorite films ever, First Wives Club. She is in Failure to Launch and that fucking awful Family Stone, which I never talk about. I used to talk about that in December, let alone in February. I hate that film so much. She's done some rom-commy bits, but I don't know, she just... She's better than just Carrie. Obviously, well,
amazing.
I appreciate
her as Carrie, but more than just Carrie.
Exactly. Can I really quickly give a shout out to a book I read as well? It's The Secret Lives of Church Ladies by Deesha Filior. Has anyone here read Roxane Gay's Difficult Women? Which was...
No.
Oh my God, you guys, you have to read that book, all of you, because it is... It's from maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and it is a book of short stories all about like what it is like to exist as a woman, and they're all different characters, all like very short stories, kind of completely isolated from one another, not at all linked, but is a really brilliant like sort of, I don't know, thought-provoking piece on what it's like to live as a woman. Anyway, it reminds me a bit of that. It's much less heavy than that book.
Okay.
So it is basically a series of short stories. It's the same format, about Black women in America, and that I suppose what they have in common is ultimately they are all supposed to be kind of church-going ladies from like traditional backgrounds. It's very small snapshots of their private life. So whether it's them coming of age and having inappropriate relationships with men, whether it's them struggling with their sexuality, whether it's them dealing with poverty, all different small snippets that I think it ranges across the 20th century as well. Like they seem to be slightly different times, some of them, although it's never really that explicitly said. But they're just these really beautiful, short bursts of these people's lives. Like somebody kind of opens a door, lets you peek in, and then shuts the door again very quickly. And it was like, you know, funny, sad. And I'd finish one and I'd be like, I just need to sit with that story for a minute. Like, I really loved it. It's only 180 pages. It's super quick.
I never liked short stories.
Really recommend it.
Oh, I love a short story.
Yeah.
So you can just, you don't have to read the whole book in one go.
Yeah.
I suppose I wouldn't necessarily have been drawn to it knowing it was short stories, but I like it's like little appetizers.
Yeah, I suppose if you should look at it as chapters in a big book.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So yeah, I really recommend
it.
Really nice. We're going to move on and talk about trends now. There was a feature in the Evening Standard this week asking, how 2024 are you? So it says, it begins, already it's possible to see how this year is shaping up politically and economically, but most importantly in the minutiae of social life in London. Certain key interests, activities and behaviours will mark out Londoners who are doing things right in 2024, in contrast to those still pathetically stuck in 2023. So just how 2024 are you? Well, see how many of these you're busy ticking off. So it's basically all the things you need to be into to be on trend right now.
Okay.
So, number one, a booking at the Devonshire. Is this on your radar?
Yeah, I read about it yesterday.
Okay, so can I tell you, I was in an SL Man meeting the other day with Heather and a wonderful guy who helps consult on SL Man. And they start talking about the devil yeah, and the best I was sat there thinking and I was going anyway, it's at the forefront of the Guinness revolution is what I learned, because Guinness is on trend.
I heard it's the best food.
Yes, that's true.
It's in like the best restaurants.
Mm. Well, this here says 2 months in and the Devonshire Arms in Piccadilly is already the best pub in London, run by the best landlord in London, where you can buy the best pint of Guinness in London. I think it's a TikTok thing. I think TikTok has put this on the map for Guinness, because young people are getting very into Guinness.
Yes, because of
and
iron.
This is like the epicenter because of iron.
Oh yeah, it's very full of iron.
Is it?
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
also got as many calories as like a full meal, hasn't it?
what is Guinness? What actually is it?
Sorry.
What? Like, is it a bit?
It looks very yeasty.
Is it? Yeah. Is it like a sourdough starter?
Stout.
Yeah.
And it's how's that different to beer?
I've no idea. I've never drank a beer in my life, so I'm not the right person
to ask.
Have
you ever tried it?
It's just brewed differently, different hops.
I don't think so. Eloise is telling us it's brewed differently.
I don't think it's very...
Do you like it?
No, I don't like it personally. No, it's quite
very
heavy for me.
Strong taste.
Mm. Okay.
Very full. Full body.
Yeah. But I do really like how a beer is quite filling. So maybe I would like that.
Yeah, but do you like a light lager?
Yes, it's true. Yes, I do. I like a Corona.
Yeah, me too.
Like on the beach. But
yeah, on holiday. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so maybe no Devonshire Arms converts here yet. But you're right, the food is supposed to be excellent.
Yeah, I feel like it is the place to go. Yeah.
Agreed.
Buzzy.
The next thing that you need to have to be very 2024 is a Barry Keoghan obsession.
Yeah.
This is obviously the star of Saltburn. He is also in Masters of the Air. Has anyone watched this?
Not yet.
No.
So we started it. I found it... This sounds really bad, but I'm quite a girly girl, and it was... It was too masculine for me. Was it? It was a boys and their toys TV show. Like, Ben loved it.
And it's got Elvis in it.
By Elvis, yes, it has him. What's his name?
Austin Butler.
Thank you, as the star. But Barry Keoghan is in that as well.
I feel I have got an obsession.
Do you?
I think about his dance quite a lot.
The naked dance.
Yeah. He's a lovely bum, isn't he?
Yeah, lovely bum.
Yeah, ooh, see, I'm just quite creeped out by him from that.
No, I got the dancing or this grave scene.
All of it. The whole lot. Didn't like any of it particularly.
I just love that was his dance. I just think he's cool.
Yeah, I don't fancy him.
I don't think this is saying you have to fancy him.
Do you not?
I think this is saying...
I want to be mates with him.
They called him the old Saltburn salty bathwater guzzler. If you've seen it, you'll know that's disgusting. Oh no, it sort of is. I mean, to be fair, he's obviously been on the red carpet circuit so far this year at all the award shows.
He's cool. Yeah.
He's cool.
Okay, an ironic interest in Love Island All Stars is next on the list. Anyone watching it?
No,
but I feel like I've seen a lot on TikTok, so yeah. I know what's going on. But
George has been outed. Whoever George
as
what?
George yeah. Steele
as just like
her
slippery.
True self.
No, yeah.
What, the one
loyal.
The loyal Georgia one.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's quite fit these days.
She's hot.
She?
She's super hot. As is the other Georgia.
Georgia Harrison.
Yeah. Yes. Who actually was obviously doing really amazing things last year. She had that terrible time with Stephen Bear.
Yeah.
Bear, exactly. You know, she was really, she became an amazing campaigner, so I'm kind of sad that she's...
Yeah, she got, the law changed. And I was like, why are you doing Love Island again?
Yeah, exactly, that's what I mean. Like, she was doing good, serious things, and she...
Yeah.
Money must have been good, girls.
Must have been.
True, very true.
My problem with All Stars was that it was on at the same time as The Traitors.
Yes, like, exactly. Okay. I feel like I might be too old for it as well. I feel that shit might have said
Never.
Okay, you've got to be into Mezcal.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, big into that.
I really so like
mezcal. Tick, finally, one.
Tick, there we go. Yeah. I love the smokiness of mezcal. In a decent cocktail.
In like a margarita.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
So nice.
Yeah, I agree. Do we know any reputable mezcal brands, if people want to give it a go?
The Lost Explorer. They do a really good one.
Good to know. Cool. Thank you. Immersive exhibitions is up next, such as the Van Gogh one, the Tom Hanks one, Lightbox, and there's also something called Bubble Planet, which they're calling a soft play without the measles.
No, but I want to go to the balloon one, the bubble one.
I think that's really good for kids.
I didn't know
Yeah.
Not just for kids,
but yeah.
But
I haven't done... I have a frameless, I suppose that's...
Yeah, that's exactly it. I've not done a frameless.
No, I need to do
I would.
For kids.
For kids, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I did go to the David Attenborough, the BBC experience. That is amazing.
Is it?
Yeah. Because it's massive screens... And you stand in this black room and you fit and you're just and you feel you're in it.
That's cool.
Really cool.
I've heard that the Tom Hanks one, Lightbox, which is all about moon the moon, the journey of the moon.
Okay.
It's brilliant.
It's really good.
This is really good. Okay, what else is in? I'll flick through some of these. Mushroom oil.
Ooh.
It's a mild psychedelic.
Oh, okay.
Is it legal?
I don't think so, but then it goes on to talk about cocaine balls, so I'm gonna say no. Oh yeah, look, magic rather than culinary, definitely not legal. Sorry, Pete. Natural wine, which they're branding as natty wine.
Ooh, I'm not into that.
No, but I do like an orange wine.
Do you?
I do.
I think I've ever had an orange wine.
Oh yes, yeah. I like an orange wine. You know, if you want something like rosé-y, but not in peak, like it's not summer, so you feel good drinking rosé.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I know what you mean. I just don't like an Aperol spritz.
Aperol spritz is Aperol and spritz. There's no wine in it. So
and prosecco,
or like and prosecco. Yeah, but it's that's like saying I don't like orange juice and comparing it to orange They are unrelated. Trump anxiety.
Yeah,
hard relate.
I mean, everyone surely.
I did see a TikTok that was explaining why Michelle Obama is going to be running in 2024, and I was like, I wish this was true. It's a little late. I think we would know she was going to be the Democratic nominee, but that would be so nice.
I know. She's so sensible.
She's just so sensible and positive. Yeah. The thing is, whatever, you know, we're not here to talk about politics. However, I think everyone agrees that, you know, we should be loving and peaceful and positive, not following leaders who are full of hate, who are hate. Yes,
crazy.
Okay, that's Substack is something else to be involved with. I do subscribe to a couple of Substacks.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I love that this is coming back. Like, obviously, not Substack itself; it's quite new. But like, in terms of like the idea of like longer form blogging, blogs, that kind of thing. I love that's making a return. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really great.
I so agree. I subscribe to Leandra Medines, who was Man Repeller, who obviously got herself into like a lot of hot water and sort of, you know, and folded her business, but ultimately, therefore, her Substack has gone back to the basics of why I liked her in the first place before she had, you know, this big publishing platform, because ultimately I just want to hear about how she puts an outfit together, and
she's a good writer.
And she's a good writer.
Yeah.
Back to basics. Yeah. So,
yeah, it is. I think it's a cool platform.
Yeah. Anyone got any other Substack recommendations?
We did a feature on the site about this. Yeah. I think my recs were Bree Graham. She had a cookbook out about a year ago about cooking meals for two. So hers is just lovely dinner ideas. Also Ben from Mob Kitchen, his one is really good. It's just like lovely food that you actually want to cook at home on like a weekday. And Alexandra Dudley also has one.
Of course she does.
Yeah.
Lovely. Shout out her. Absolutely. Okay, Pilates reformer classes. I mean, that's hardly feels that new to me, but into that, where do you go?
There's actually one really close to where I live called The Reformery, which is very reasonable, and all the teachers are lovely, because some of them are very like just a bit, they don't give you enough instructions if you're a beginner.
But otherwise,
what do people rate? What's the really famous one? Oh, Nobu Pilates is supposed to be amazing.
Oh, it is supposed to be amazing, I've always liked Heartcore. It's just impossible to get in. Those classes go like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is it?
There's a few. They're mostly in North London. There's one in Notting Hill, St John's Wood, Hampstead.
Yeah, it's too far. There's one near here.
Opposite?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, and I always walk past, and what gives me the ick is the guy in the like advertising photo who's got toe socks on.
Oh, no.
On the reformer. Not toe socks. I'm like,
oh, but don't you think toe socks, like, for, at least for a reformer, like.
No.
You don't need to wear them.
Absolutely not.
No, you should wear your socks.
Man in a toe.
They're like room 101 for me.
Absolutely not.
Don't mind.
They shouldn't exist.
That is so weird. That doesn't
exist. No, it doesn't. I'm okay with the taste off. I'm not saying I'm like excited by it, but it doesn't bother me.
That blows my mind.
A couple of things left. Last Dinner Party tickets. They are a band. Okay, what else? Socks and kitten heels. Yes, down into it.
Yeah.
One rule for getting that right. What length should your trousers be?
Longer than the top of the sock, perhaps.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
I actually did see a really cool look on Mango today. They're wearing like sort of sporty like 80s running shorts with some sheer socks and a pair of kitten heels, and I was like, that's
cool.
Such a vibe.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Like short shorts,
like the 118 guys wear.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm trying to make like reference, but
exactly. Like what he wears like when Danny in Greece.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of leg admin. I'm not sure I'm quite there yet.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice idea. And finally, one colour interiors. It says there are too many decisions to be made in this life, and certainly in decoration, which is why many are making the wise decision to do the old matchy-matchy and keeping the walls, curtains, skirts, and ceiling all one colour.
I think that could look quite nice.
As long as it's not all grey.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I can be down for that.
You do risk getting sick of that colour.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, but there we go. That is... that's what I you feel need to know about.
I'm about half 2024 then.
Nearly there. Yeah. I mean, it's only February, so.
I'm like in 2023.
Yeah.
We've got the rest of the year.
Yeah, we've got some catching up to do. Okay, anyway, let's move on and answer some questions. Someone has asked, they haven't even asked, they just said Valentine's gifts for him. I'm going to start because we are working at the moment with Scarlett Gask, which is a high-end lingerie brand. And look, sexy underwear isn't for everybody, but it really, like, sometimes some boys like it. Some girls like it. They have a really, really amazing selection of products.
I quite like a bit of sexy underwear every now and again. Yeah, you know, like it's not for everyone, but I think it's quite like nice to make a bit of an occasion sometimes.
I mean, the thing is, when you've been with someone for a long time,
yeah, so
I
spice it up.
Exactly, like they've probably seen your ratty beige knickers quite a few times, so it's quite nice to put in the effort.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah,
it is.
Definitely. Oh, for yourself as well, to feel like amazing.
100%. 100%. They have the most. Like, the most epic selection of products.
Yeah.
They are, like, it's the colour, it's the bows, it's the satin, extra. It's the lace. Yeah. It is extra. Yeah,
very love. Pretty.
But, like, fun, sexy, extra.
Yeah. It's like, just bridging the gap between, like, sexy, but also kind of playful and cool and a little bit edgier. Yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
agreed.
I really like this pink kind of sheer set.
Yeah.
Like
a suspender belt.
Very nice.
It's true. It's sexy without going into, like, kinky.
Yeah.
Which is a fine line.
You know, putting something on that makes you feel hot is so
much
and empowering.
Yeah.
Very.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. We also did an interview with the founder on site, which is all her tips for feeling sexy. So whether it's underwear or various other things, then do give it a read for ways to feel a little bit sexier this time of year. Because also, I don't know about you guys, but I haven't seen sun for quite a long time. Yeah. I've been indulging quite a lot. Yeah. Like, I could do with some help. Yeah. So maybe
that's why those corsets are quite good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They hide all manner of sins. Exactly. All that Christmas indulgence. Exactly. Other Valentine's gifts for him? Anyone do that? Hang on, this is your first Valentine's with Harry.
It is,
We must do something.
Yeah, no, we will do something.
Other than sex.
But I actually am of the opinion that, like, Valentine's Day is more for the in a hetero relationship, is more for the girl. I think it's going out for dinner or something, or just doing, well, you don't even have to go out for dinner, just, like, doing dinner indoors
doing dinner indoors as opposed
to out on the...
Just be inside, the okay? Instead of on the terrace.
No, but I know what you mean. I would never go to a restaurant on Valentine's Night.
Can I tell you, the butcher on Clapham, I keep meaning to go on, the butcher on Clapham Common, like right by us, is doing a pre-order beef Wellington for Valentine's Day.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I think that's
so
lovely.
Good. So nice.
Because I hear what you're saying, like, I feel like where you're going is it's like a bit commercial and it's a bit like of a made up thing, which is totally fair. Yeah. Mm. So you don't have to buy into it. However, isn't it nice to have one day in the year where you just stop, if you're in a relationship, where you can just stop and focus on the fact you're in a relationship.
It's really nice.
Like, good excuse to just, like, tell each other the reasons why you love each other.
I quite like a funny card.
Do you?
Yeah.
All like, about the there's cards, quite a good one called I Would Drink Your Bath Water.
Oh! No.
After
get it.
And I remember when we were really into that. Love and it
was just put it out there.
That's a step too far, I think.
I quite like a funny coat. But I more get stuff, like I make a big deal for the kids. So I get them a card each.
That's so nice.
Which is, I love you so much.
Oh, that's really sweet.
And then I get them like chocolates and actually Zara doing some super sweet pajamas with hearts on.
Cute. Aww,
that's so cute.
I want to send my best friend flowers and she's single. Does that seem patronising? Is that nice?
Maybe not like a bunch of red roses, but
I
would love that.
I think that's a lovely idea.
Yeah, so nice.
Okay, great. Someone has said, I actually would love to know the answer to this question. What kind of sandals will be trending this year? I mean, it's probably a bit early to say, isn't it?
I've seen a lot of fisherman style sandals, actually, like quite just creeping in. Mm. So maybe that is quite early.
Somebody said, I'm looking for a cooking experience for a 30th birthday celebration with my partner. I'd love to see, but this is nice. I'd love to see behind the scenes of a top London restaurant. So a cooking skills masterclass followed by a fabulous lunch would be his ideal present. That is the best. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
That's
second
such part. A good gift.
That's a great gift. Yeah. Sherry?
Great gift. So the sauce. Oh my God, my lisp. Sorry. The sauce.
the Sauce.
Sauce by the Langham Hotel have a whole cookery site. A whole cookery school for that's kids cool. and adults. Oh. So that's really cool.
Is it at the Langham?
Yeah. Exactly, oh, at the hotel. It's like around the back. It's really cool. Massive space. And they do theme ones like Italian or pie or whatever you want.
Cool.
But if you want more of a behind the scenes, the Sea in Chelsea or Hackney, they do really nice cookery experiences. So you go and meet the chefs. You can go to the fishmonger, choose the fish. They teach you how to fillet it.
Wow,
and because the kitchen is so small, you get a real feel for what that is actually like.
So cool.
So I would actually go for that one, yeah, I think.
I was going to say before, when you were talking about Bread Ahead, Sam on our team, it was her birthday last week, and her and her husband did a cooking course at Bread Ahead.
I was going to say.
In Borough Market as well. So that's a bit less high end, I suppose. You know, that's not then a dinner. It's I think they made bread and pastries or whatever. But
that's fun. So cute. Yeah, that's love that.
And maybe come with the kids as well.
Great idea.
Okay, finally, somebody has said, looking for a work handbag to stride into spring, something a little unique, up to £500. Work bags are hard.
I know.
This is like the perennial problem.
I need this carry two bags. I mean, it's crazy. I've got handbag and then a tote bag.
I've actually just stopped bringing my laptop to work as much as possible because I hate having to carry a big bag.
Me too, it's too heavy.
Yeah. I'm going to find this brand. Yeah. We featured it on our conscious edit the other day. Ooh. And they do this bag. I'm going to find it, hang on Sherlock's, which was just one of the chicest things I've ever seen. How gorgeous is that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's called Shylak, Chylak. It's a Polish bag. 98% of its raw materials are biodegradable, recycled or sustainably produced. That has got
is it
typo
like, I can't wait to see it. Is it like a shell shape?
So it's it's £435. It is, look.
Oh, cool.
It's basically a very scalloped tote.
Love.
And they've got it in all, I just think it is one of the chicest things I've ever seen. Look at that in white.
Is it leather?
That's really
it's
nice.
Leather. Isn't that gorgeous?
Love.
We'll put a link in the show notes and in the podcast notes.
Nice. Really nice.
There's also Pollen.
Pollen. Also, Songmont. Also ooh. Very cool brands. I've got a bag from there, like a really big kind of like quite slouchy bag. Mm.
Oh, that is nice.
It's a laptop and stuff.
Songmont.
Yes.
Songmont.
Actually, there is also a really good suede kind of slouchy tote from Reformation, which is on Matches, which is it's like a dupe for the Kate one. Mm. It's about £400, and it's really really nice as well.
I never think of Reformation for bags.
I know it's only neither do I. It's only because it's on the on Matches that I've seen it, but it's really lovely.
Oh, that's so good. I do love a slouchy suede.
Yeah, it's that. It's a really nice slouchy suede.
Nice.
Also, finally, there is one on Suzanne, which it doesn't quite fit a big laptop, but it's a bucket bag, and they've got it in lots of different leather colours. I've got one in a really kind of warm pink.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
Really nice, but like kind
not
of
big enough for a tote, like
it's
a
not
handbag.
Quite it's a big bucket bag. It's not big enough for a laptop just because of the shape, but it's a really if you're not a laptop girly but you just want to be able to throw in all your other work bits, it's perfect for every day.
Okay,
nice.
I really want to get my hands on that scallop thing.
Yeah, it's so nice. It's fine. I'm gonna fight you to that.
Okay. See you in the ring. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thank you everyone, and thank you for listening. If you have any feedback, please do let us know at podcast@sheerlux.com. We love hearing from you. Don't forget also to rate, review, subscribe and tell your friends. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.